Thank you so much. Good morning. How are you? Lovely to see all of you here today. And we are finishing our month series here. Our theme has been On the Way of Love, the Journey to the Heart of Relationship. And we've had a theme song, which if you've been here, you've heard me mention, but I'll say it again. And the wonderful music, I want to acknowledge the music of Lisa Ferraro and Etika Luckett, because they've taken Rumi poems and turned them into Rumi tunes, as I like to call them. And they have a CD called Ruby, which you may be able to track down. I don't know if it's here. But their song that we've been using as our theme is On the Way of Love, You Must Be Very Alive. A lifeless heart has nothing to sing. You must be very alive. So who's alive? The one whose soul is born from love. Whose soul is born from love. And the last line is, which is our talk title for today, in love, search for us. In us, search for this. So, you know, who's alive is the one whose soul is born from love. And the soul, as I think about it, is that deepest, the deepest place within us, our uniqueness and our identity. You might think of your soul as the place where God became you in unique expression. So when we're connected with our soul, we're actually connected to the place where God gave birth to us, and we are born from love. We're born from the self-givingness of God to creation. And you are the self-givingness of God to creation. So just get it, would you? You are the prayer that God is praying. You are the highest thought of the possibility for a fully expressed, beautiful life on the planet. And that's the truth about you. I know that. I can see it. I absolutely know that. And so when we're talking about being alive on the path of love, it's about being present with and engaged with everything that this path is about. What's wonderful, what's difficult, what's glorious, where we succeed, where we fail. You know, love is the newborn child, and love is something that's closing out. You know, we have the whole experience on the path. And the opportunity for this month is just to be alive with it and be engaged with it. And I've given you practices for the month, and at Reverend Sarah's suggestion, you will find those practices on a sheet in your program. So you have those available to you, including the two for today. Don't look now. But the practices have been, first of all, to be love and then to be loving, to get fascinated by your reactions. In other words, to watch your reactions in relationship and use them as a way to understand where you are not living from the truth of your wholeness. The next practice is to say to yourself all of the wonderful loving things you would love to have somebody say to you. And I'm getting great reports from the field about how fabulous that is. And doing that at night before you go to sleep, you wake up with a little extra something in your step. Okay? If you can't say it to you, why would somebody else, I ask you? So say those loving things, those loving, wonderful things that you would love to hear from someone else to yourself. Let's see, what was the next practice? Yes, practice seeing what you see and knowing what you know. In other words, watch falling into fantasy, either about how it'll never work or the fantasy that gets you into places where you really shouldn't ought to be. So watch that. See what you see and know what you know and know that you're doing that. And then the last one from last week was, whatever is on your wish list for relationships, start being that. Start being what you want to fall in love with. All right. And this works inside a relationship too, by the way. So I want to start today where we left off last week by saying that we can, in any moment, decide that everything that has taken place in relationship up to this point is complete. And I want to encourage you to do that, to accept it for how it was and how it was not, to appreciate it for all of the learning, because that's what relationships are for. I honor and bless every single relationship I have ever been in. Because in those relationships, I learned where I was, where I loved and where I didn't, and where I was operating from my wholeness and where I wasn't. And this is the kind of learning that we do. So appreciate the learning. Bless it and release it. And the intention behind this is actually to push a reset button. And in the pushing of the reset button, we can practice what is called forgiveness. I know it's not always easy to get there, but start thinking about it. The definitions of forgiveness that I really like are that forgiveness is permission to move forward. Give yourself permission to move forward. The second one is the decision to not suffer the damage of something anymore. What a good idea. Because it's already done, right? So make the decision to not suffer the damage. And then a colleague of mine says that forgiveness is allowing someone harmless passage through your mind. Allowing someone harmless passage through your mind, and that someone might be you. That someone might be you. So the intention here, push the reset button, and it is to bring all of yourself into the present moment, to be here now in the moment of a new beginning, and to keep hauling yourself back into the present moment when you find your mind drifting. There are many more interesting things to think about than continuously reworking the relationship of the past that is already over. I know what you do, because I know what I do. They are done. It's done. It's done. So haul yourself back to the present moment. Be in the present moment. Start thinking about the relationship you want, which really means how you're going to be in relationship. Because it all begins with you. The relationship that you want begins with how you are going to be in relationship. And again, this can be inside of a relationship that is ongoing. So make a fresh start. And when I think about the fresh start, I think that love is a state of being and relationship is a process. Love is a state of being and relationship is a process. And in this moment of a fresh beginning, we can set new intentions or make new agreements with ourselves. And so I have two to suggest to you. And they actually are the practices for this week. And the first one is anchor yourself in love as a constant state of being. Just anchor yourself in love as a constant state of being. And the second one is, and be patient with the process of relationship. Anchor yourself in love as a state of being. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with the process of relationship. So love is a state of being. Love is a quality of God. Love with a capital L is a quality of God. And therefore, it is an innate and unchangeable aspect of our own being. It is first what we are, then it is what we do, and then it is what we have. It is first what we are, then it is what we do, and then it is what we have. And the opportunity is to so anchor in the truth of love as your being that you can weather all of the storms that happen in relationship. So I have a little Rumi poem for you. It says, when a storm sets love's ocean wildly in motion, not everyone can praise that mystery. Only those who will never break with the deep infinite that sings underneath the changing surface. When a storm sets love's ocean wildly in motion, not everyone can praise that mystery. Only those who never break with the deep infinite that sings underneath the changing surface. To come into love as a state of being is to stay connected with the deep infinite, no matter what. No matter how choppy the seas are on the surface. It's about anchoring in love as the place that we came from, where we're going, why we're here, and what it's all about, and love as the final explanation of everything, and it's about staying there. At the deepest place, staying in that reality of love regardless. And there are storms in relationship, is that not so? There are storms within a relationship that's an ongoing relationship, and there are storms as we come in and out of relationship. And yet we want to find that unmovable place, that place to anchor. So I want to share with you another deep story. And by the way, the stories that I shared last week and the one that I'm sharing this week come out of Clarissa Pinkola Estes' book, Women Who Run with the Wolves. And even though it's a book that's for women and the deep psyche of women, I know any number of men who really love these stories too. And besides, boys always love a story. So I'm going to share with you the story of Skeleton Woman today. And these deep stories, the deep stories conduct us into the deepest place in our own psyche. And what looks like discrete or distinct characters really represent aspects of your own mind and your own thought and your own a spiritual, psychological, emotional transformation. And so these stories get right into the depths of our own transformation process. So Skeleton Woman is a story about the life, death, life nature. In other words, it's about how things move in cycles. And the cycles are that there is an animation or a birth, and then there is, or a beginning, and then there is growth or development, and then there is decline, and then there is an ending that we call death. And at the moment of the ending, there is a brand new beginning and a reanimation and a growing and a development and a decline and an ending. And around and around and around it goes. Even though we in the Western world try to live only between the birth and the growth. We try to withstand the cycles, but the truth is everything moves in cycles. Now, behind all of this is the absolute reality of God, but we're speaking at the human level right now. And so the story tells us that if we wish to have an enduring love, we will actually have to invite into our relationship the awareness of the cycles that take place, the endings and the beginnings and the endings and the beginnings that take place within a relationship. This awareness must actually be invited in by both lovers and embraced. And I can tell you from personal experience, it doesn't work well when only one person has this awareness. But that is another whole talk, I'll tell you. All right. So here's how the story begins. She had done something of which her father disapproved, although no one remembered what it was. But her father had dragged her to the cliffs and thrown her over and into the sea. And there the fish ate her flesh and plucked out her eyes. As she lay under the sea, her skeleton turned over and over in the currents. Pretty visual, right? So you have a sense. As the story goes on, there is a fisherman who has drifted far away from his home and come into an inlet. He doesn't know that fishermen stay out of that inlet because they believe that it is haunted. And in that inlet, he drops his hook, and his hook goes down and drifts into the rib cage of Skeleton Woman. And he begins to struggle with the weight of it. And as she is coming to the surface, he turns to get his net. And so he doesn't see her bald head rise above the waves or the little sea creatures in the orbs of her skull. This is fun for a Sunday morning, isn't it? But as he turns back with his net, suddenly her whole body comes to the surface of the water, and as we would say today, he freaks. He starts screaming, picks up his paddle, starts paddling as furiously as he can, but because she is tangled in the line, she follows right along behind him, and it looks like she's standing on her toes and pursuing him. And he is paddling furiously, and she is right there behind him. And even when he runs aground and grabs his fishing stick, and he starts running over the tundra, there she is, bumpity-bumping, right along behind him. And when he runs across the tundra and over the meat that has been laid out to dry, and she grabs a little piece to eat because she's been really hungry, and he goes running and goes diving into his snow house through the tunnel and sits there in the dark, panting and sobbing, believing that he is safe. Then he lights the whale oil in his lamp, and of course, who does he see there but Skeleton Woman, with one heel over her shoulder and one knee tucked under her rib and another part of her twisted in some other way, and there she is, all in a tumble. And in the story, it's not knowing why exactly, whether the firelight softened her features or whether it was because he was a lonely man. But some kindness comes into his breathing, and he begins to work with her and to sing over her, saying, "Oh, na, 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 oh, na, na, na," untangling the line. "Oh, na, na, na," he untangles her toes. And, "Oh, na, na, na," he untangles the ankles. And he works through the night. He puts furs over her in order to keep her warm. And all through the night, he works to untangle her from the line until her bones are exactly the way a human's should be. He then becomes very, very drowsy, and he slides under his sleeping skins. All the while, Skeleton Woman has not uttered a sound, too afraid that he would then throw her over the cliffs to the rocks below. But in his sleeping, he begins to dream. And it's not known whether he was dreaming a sad dream or a dream of longing, but a little tear escapes from his eye. And Skeleton Woman sees this tear glistening, and so she clanks and claws and crawls her way over to him and puts her mouth to the tear. And the tear becomes a river. And with this river, she slakes her thirst that she's had for so very long. And she reaches into the heart, into the body of the man, and takes out his heart and begins to bang it like a mighty drum. Bum, 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 bum. And while she was doing this, she's singing, flesh, flesh, flesh. And the more she sings, the more her body fills out. And so she sings for hair, and she sings for really good eyes, and she sings for nice fat hands, and she sings for all of the other womanly attributes. And the more she sings, the more her body fills out. And then she sings off the clothes of the man, and she climbs in under the skins with him and wraps herself around him. And in the morning, they wake up all entangled together in a good and a lasting way. And the way the story ends is this. The people who cannot remember how she came to her first ill fortune say that she and the fishermen went away and were consistently well-fed by the creatures she had known in her life under the water. The people say it is true, and that is all they know. And that's the story of Skeleton Woman. So every aspect of this story has really beautiful meaning, and I refer you to the story if you want to get into it. But what I'd like to focus in on with you is the patience of the fishermen to do the untangling. The patience and the kindness by which he began to untangle the line. Because this speaks to the patience with which we need to go through the process of relationship if we wish to have a relationship that endures through time. It is the patience with this life-death-life nature. It is patience with the understanding that there are beginnings and there are endings, and there are beginnings, and there are endings. Skeleton Woman represents this awareness that this is the truth inside of relationship, and she represents this awareness coming to us so that we know when it is time for something to begin. And sometimes when there's something to begin related to relationship, it might be a whole new relationship with a whole other person. Or it might be that there is needed something new that needs to be born within an ongoing relationship. Does that make sense to you? So something within the relationship. It's also about the awareness of knowing when something needs to end. And sometimes when a relationship needs to end, it does need to end. Or perhaps there's something within the relationship that needs to end. Not the relationship itself, but something deeply within the relationship needs an ending. A couple of years ago, I was listening to something on radio, and it was a psychologist talking about working with teens who are suicidal. And what he says to them is something in you wants to die, but it doesn't have to be all of you. You know, it's that same idea that when there is a need for an ending, there is something that wants to die or complete, but it doesn't have to be all of us, and it doesn't have to be the relationship. Sometimes what needs to die in a relationship are illusions or expectations or the greed for having it all or the unwillingness to touch the unlovely in somebody and in yourself in the process of relationship. It is very hard to know which is which. I might have shared with you the New Yorker cartoon that I love, a couple sitting in bed and the woman is saying, is this the beginning of something, the end of something, or all of something? It's hard to know. Yeah? You get it? It's hard to know. Is it the beginning, the end, or all of it? And yet, this is the patience that is required, that we stay present, that we stay anchored in the truth that is love, and that we patiently begin to unravel this nature of relationship, that within a relationship there will be beginnings and there will be endings, and at the moment of an ending there is a brand new beginning, and over again. And I would say that it is the couples, and there are a number of them in here in the room, that have a lasting love and a lasting relationship. Somehow they have learned how to do this in a very patient way. The story is telling us that if we wish to be fed for life in a relationship, we will learn how to do this. We will learn how to untangle the life, death, life nature in relationship and do the work and be patient. I have not always had this patience. In fact, I will tell you, I usually haven't had this patience. And yet it is something that I aspire to, because I think it is true, and I think there is something beautiful here. So I want to add two more practices, and you have them on your list already. I'm going to state it a little bit differently than is on the sheet. And that is, stay anchored in love as the reality of your being. Let it be in your contemplations and in your meditation that you are staying anchored in the truth of love as that which you are. And it is from this place, then, that we be loving, that we express love, that we go out to give love, and that we welcome love. The second one is be patient. Be patient, deeply patient, with all of the things that surface in relationship. Slow down. Talk, communicate, feel, talk about what needs to end and what needs to begin within the relationship. Take time, untangle, sing over the bones. Yeah. As I was thinking about how I might sum up our month here, I thought about the early Christians. And the early Christians were known for the love that they had, that they showed from one to another. The early Christians were known for the love that they had between them. I think that's a very, very beautiful idea. The second thing is Ernest Holmes, our founder, said, it would be wonderful indeed if a group of persons should arrive on earth who were for something and against nothing. It would be wonderful indeed if a group of persons should arrive on earth who were for something and against nothing. And so I offer to you, how would it be if we were a group of people known for being love? Not having love or even giving love, but first of all being love. How would that be? Might be nice. And how would it be if we were a group of people who were for love all the way? For love all the way as the reason for being and the final explanation of everything. This is what I offer to you as a thought and as a possibility, so that we could say, like the closing line of the song that's been our theme, in love search for us, in us search for this. In other words, wherever love is, look for us, because we just might be there. Wherever love is, search for us. We just might be there. And look inside of us, and you will find love there. Look in us. Search in us, and you will find love there. So I want to complete by sharing with you another little Rumi tune. I won't sing, though. And it's called Little by Little, and I think it is a beautiful, visionary idea about the total benevolent takeover of love. You ready? Okay. Little by little, the rosy-cheeked are coming down from the rose gardens and the orchards of love. Little by little, the heart-healing ones are on the way. The exhausted ones from the meadows of love, strong and in the best of health, are returning. The souls of the pure of heart are streaming down like beams from an invisible sun. Little by little, the non-beings are being gone, and little by little, the true beings are coming, little by little. I'll read it again. Little by little, the rosy-cheeked are coming down from the rose gardens and the orchards of love. Little by little, the heart-healing ones are on the way. The exhausted ones from the meadows of love, strong and in the best of health, are returning. That's a lovely image, isn't it? The souls of the pure of heart are streaming down like beams from an invisible sun. Little by little, the non-beings are being gone, and little by little, the true beings are coming, little by little. The total benevolent takeover of the planet by love. I'm in, are you? And you know, we just each operate in our own little sphere. We just do it where we are. There are unspeakable tragedies that take place. We just heard about more on the weekend. You know, unspeakable. And every unspeakable tragedy is either would have been prevented by or made better by the total benevolent takeover of love. There is not a single thing that is not improved by the expression of love and by us knowing who we are as beings of love. And there's a beautiful saying, divine love has and will meet every human need. Divine love has and will meet every human need, and you are the portal through which divine love expresses. So, close your eyes. Let's breathe. So let us just take a nice deep breath together, breathing into the heart center. Just allowing the story of Skeleton Woman and all the other things said today, just move through your awareness, the inner self in you that is so wise and so loving, knows just what to do with the information. And we remember that we have come here to walk the way of love, to journey toward the heart of relationship, to be alive, to know that we are born from love, to engage in everything that this path is about, because why not? It's where we came from, it's where we're going, it's why we're here, it's what it's all about. We are here to fully express as love. And so I accept for each one of us that we do anchor deeply into this truth of love as our beingness, that we make our home in love as that which we are. We stand full and strong in that no matter what the storms are. And there are storms. They are the way in which we are tossed about and tumbled, the way in which we rub our rough corners off on each other, the way in which we are made smooth by the process of love and relationship itself. And I accept for each one of us that we are deeply patient in the relationships that we are in the new relationships that we enter. We take the time to untangle the cycles of ending and beginning, remembering always that love abides. And so please take a moment just to express into your heart center exactly what you want around love and relationship. And breathe it into your heart and let us know together that it is done. Yes?
Yes.
And with a nice deep breath, open your eyes. It has been wonderful, wonderful to share this month with you, to walk the way of love with you, to journey toward the heart of relationship with you. So I have a question. It was really good for me. Was it good for you? Wow.